MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, September 5, 2023. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage in communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Today is primary election day in Massachusetts. Danvers has a new trash plan.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we have details on one football team that picked up a win this weekend.
Always good to start the season with a win.
Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you, sir. Sunny today, temperatures in the low to mid-80s. High tide, Gloucester Harbor, 4:11 p.m. Today is primary day in Massachusetts. In Lynn, the city council ward races will be taking center stage. The Daily Item reports that in Ward 1, there are currently six candidates running, and after today, only the top two vote-getters will be on the November ballot. The town of Rockport will be holding a town meeting on Monday, September 11. As reported in the Gloucester Times, Select Board Vice Chair Ross Brackett believes most of the meeting will be dealing with routine matters. Danvers is rolling out a new trash and recycling program today. The new system features a new and safer automated side load system.
We found as a trash hauling company, the days of the guys sitting on the back of the truck hanging on there, a driver in the front and a guy in the back, are kind of going by the wayside. As much as we want to, people to be out there, it's not a desirable job anymore. So the future is automation now. And what automation does for the trucks for the drivers is it makes them stay in the cab. It's much safer for them to be in the cab the entire time and use the mechanical arm to pick up the trash. So what we're really moving forward and we're rolling out now is automated only for our communities that we service. We want to keep our drivers safe. We want them to go home at night. Most of the incidents that happen in our industry are from guys in the back of the truck.
Tyler Finnegan from the Republic Trash Hauling Company that serves Danvers says the new system provides many advantages.
We think with the carts that the city's chosen, it's going to promote more recycling throughout the community. It's going to be cleaner. You're not going to have the trash and recycling, flying all over the area on a windy day. The lids will be, closed, animal proof, all that too. So it's the most efficient means of collection as well too. So we can finish your route, without carrying stuff over for the next day because of, a breakdown or someone, got hurt or something happened.
Residents will need to correctly place the bins so they can be picked up by the automated system.
But we ask that the cart should be out by 7 a.m. We're not going to start servicing until after 7 a.m. 1 feet from the curb, or even on the curb if it's too tight, you can have it there. But 3 feet from other objects. And again, you don't have to take a tape measure out and looking at it. Just make sure that, the arm can get in there and pick it up. And you guys will find your sweet spot, I'm sure, at your house, wherever it is. Make sure it's not leaning against anything as well. Because when the driver's, if it's going to lean against someone, the driver's not going to pick it up because that's going to lead to damage. That's going to lead to something that we don't want. And then when you put it out, make sure the arrows are facing out. So you'll roll it out from your house like that, put it right on the curb, and then driver picks it up and puts it right back down.
That's Tyler Finnegan from the Republic Trash Hauling Company speaking at last week's public forum on Danvers Access Television. Salem News reporter Dustin Luca has been following the plight of homeless individuals in the area. In a recent MSO News interview, he discussed some of the ongoing challenges and possible routes to solutions in helping those in need of housing.
Yeah, and this is something that's been kind of obviously developing a lot during the COVID-19 pandemic with the economic unrest and everything that's been happening. A lot of people have been kind of falling on harder ways and then losing access to housing and things like that as a result. So you're seeing these encampments kind of pop all over the place that are very, very visible, getting a lot of conversations nationally, and it's happening a lot locally. Last year, there was a really, really big incident involving Old Town Hall where they had an encampment that was tying down to the railings of the entrances of the building and things like that. This year, the attention is focusing on an encampment that's set up behind the Wendy's on Lafayette Street in Salem. And it's something that's kind of grown. Last time I was out there about a week ago, I think week and a half ago, they had, I want to say it was maybe about a dozen tents and probably about 20 to 30 people out there. And when I was talking to police about it, they were mentioning that, they're seeing some activity coming from South Boston with the collapse of Mass and Cass and kind of the efforts in Boston kind of clamp down on the unsafe aspects of that, encampment and everything like that. And that's not to say that the encampment, on Lafayette Street is unsafe. I actually have not heard any concerns about anything like that. It wouldn't surprise me if there was, but it's not something that I've seen in the discussion so much. But this is still getting a lot of conversation because the Lafayette Street Wendy's is not the only place this is happening. Leslie's Retreat Park has a camp that pops up every once in a while. The Salem Woods has... I went through there with a couple of people who know the property really well right before I took a vacation recently. And we hit three camps that they knew about. And then while we were leaving the property, I found a fourth one that nobody knew about. So it's like they're just kind of all over the place. There's one that kind of has kind of a dog that's causing fear among people that try to use the trail. So there's more conversations that are kind of starting to develop about whether, you know, this is becoming a safety risk for people who are using the woods or something like that. But in any event, there's a really big event that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks that's hosted by the Samaritan Charitable Society of Salem, talking about homelessness. They're calling it the Many Faces of Homelessness, and it's something that's going to be taking place at PBD Essex Museum on Wednesday, September 20th. Attendance, you can go for free. It doesn't cost anything. They're asking people to RSVP in advance and make a donation if they'd like. But right now, there's a lot of public officials that are basically saying, you know, we've been trying to work on this literally for the entire life of the pandemic, and it's still seeming to accelerate and kind of get ahead of the towns and the cities that are being affected by it. So events like this one that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks are kind of going to try to get ideas in everybody's heads to basically say, here's what you can do to support these individuals. Here's the proper way to talk about it. Because a lot of people are just basically saying, get rid of them. They're a blight on the city or something like that. And it's like, well, no, they're actually human beings. They're our, you know, our neighbors and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of conversations going around, but a lot of these conversations are trying to come up with solutions, results, and just a way to kind of grow as a society around this, because it's, you know, at the end of the day, these are our neighbors that are suffering.
Salem News reporter Dustin Luca. Despite the fact the state ended up with a $605 million shortfall in projected revenue collection, Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr says the budget is in good shape.
Well, you know, we got to look over the last few days at what happened in fiscal year 2023. You know, and because we've discussed it, that we were concerned about a couple of bad revenue collection months. We now have an opportunity, thanks to information that's been released by the Department of Revenue, to look at what 2023 as a whole looked like, remembering that that fiscal year ended at the end of June. And what we now know is what we had suspected is we finished the year about $605 million below the benchmark on which the budget was based. And so we do have a shortfall. However, that shortfall really doesn't affect to any great extent spending in fiscal year 2023. It isn't like we don't have enough money to pay our bills. We do, because a lot of the shortfall was in capital gains taxes. And those taxes over a threshold get deposited into the stabilization fund. So what it means is we aren't going to be able to put as much in the stabilization fund as we had hoped. We're still going to make a contribution, but it does not impact spending to any great extent, either in fiscal year 2023 or fiscal year 2024, the year that we're now in. And, Rick, the most recent indications from DOR is that we're still trending in a fairly positive way with regard to collections in this fiscal year. We certainly got an alarm that went off in April of this past spring, and we're watching it carefully, but right now we're holding our own.
At State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. Sports next with several football updates.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO News Sports. News updates throughout the day. Great local sports coverage. Giving voice to North Shore newsmakers.
This is MSO Sports. The Red Sox topped the Rays yesterday 7-3. The two teams play again tonight in Florida. The Patriots are preparing for Sunday's season opener against the Philadelphia Eagles at Gillette. Pats coach Bill Belichick.
Starts with a lot of good players. You know, they're very good up front. They have an excellent offensive line. They're big. They're physical. You know, the quarterback you know, is very good. Hurts does a great job of running the show, executing the offense, but also making off-schedule plays, and you know, can run, throw. I got two great receivers, good tight end, some explosive backs, you know, Gainwell, Swift. So they've got they're well-balanced offense, and it's well-orchestrated by the quarterback, and obviously they're well-coached. They have a good plan of attack, good way to attack different schemes and stress the defense. So it'll be a big challenge for us.
New England will be once again led by quarterback Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac had a good offseason. Has had a really good camp. Comes to work every day, comes in early, stays late, works hard, understands the offense, how it works, how to get his teammates involved, how to, you know, how to help them be productive. So he's had a really good, you know, good stretch here in training camp, and had a good spring to, you know, propel himself into this time period. So it's been pretty consistent all the way through.
Coach Bill Belichick. Kickoff Sunday will be at 4:25. Endicott College football opened their 2023 season on Saturday with a 31-0 win over St. Lawrence. An outstanding performance from quarterback Clayton Marenghi of Linfield, 186 yards passing, and then he rushed for 79 yards. A big moment in Saturday's game. The Gulls up 14-0 very late first half. They drive 89 yards in just three plays to secure a 21-0 halftime lead. Coach Paul McGonigal.
It's 14-0. We got backed up probably like around our own 10, and we decided to be a little bit more aggressive. You know, obviously it's easy to be aggressive if you're up more than down more, but I think that's our mentality, whether it's plus 10 or minus 10. And obviously see how the game's going. It wasn't the opening drive, and Clayton and Shane made some big plays there and finished that drive pretty fast. But it was definitely a big momentum swing there, because Darkin yesterday, you know, if we have to punt there, you know, they get the ball back in midfield before the half, and it could be 14-3 or 14-7. So it was good situational football.
Endicott coach Paul McGonigal. High school football opens this weekend. The defending Division I state champion St. John's Prep Eagles travel Friday night to Marshfield, a very strong D2 school. Prep coach Brian St. Pierre has lost several key players from last year's team, and you never know how things will play out in game one.
Yeah, you just don't when you're 15, 16, 17-year-old young kids. You know, you never know when the lights come on. You're still figuring out about guys, but there's a standard that exists within our program, and the kids understand the standard that exists, and we're working to achieve that standard. That's a work in progress that goes throughout the season, but I'm happy with this group right now. They work. They go to work. They come to work, and they're tight. They work for each other and with each other, and that's what I really like to see, and that gives you a chance every week.
Prep coach Brian St. Pierre. That's sports with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell, and this is North Shore Today. You can always contact us through our contact link at the top of the webpage. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
We are MSONewsSports.com, the North Shore's news and sports website, featuring North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows, hosting on Thursdays, North Shore Today, the area's multimedia, community-based daily magazine. Our connections feature interview segments. Spread the word about MSONewsSports.com as we support North Shore communities with our exclusive content, powered by Moynihan Lumber, Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.